You have just heard Carlotta's Jewels, a dramatization of a feature article of unusual historical interest by the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Stage Dramas present The Shy Widow. This week's Front Page Drama, The Shy Widow, is a dramatization of a true life story entitled The Shy Widow Who Turned Out to Be a Queen of Crime. This amazing story comes from London, England, and appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Fiction writers who spin thrilling and fantastic stories of the devious workings of London's underworld keep close watch on cases solved by the British police and the clever operatives of Scotland Yard. These authors get ideas for some of their best plots from these criminal records. The writers usually have to exercise their imagination and take liberties to fill in the characters and details missing in the prosaic records of Scotland Yard. But once in a long time, these cold, business-like files tell a true story that is so unusual and incredible that the case needs no doctoring by the masters of fiction. These are the clever criminal cases that prove that old familiar adage, truth is stranger than fiction. Such is the case that we dramatize today. Our first scene is in the office of a well-known London physician in the year 1932. He has just finished a physical examination of a patient.
Well, Inspector McIntosh, there's nothing wrong with you that a moderate diet and a good rest won't cure.
How very encouraging to hear you medicos talk of nothing that a moderate diet and a good rest won't cure. You must think you're talking to one of the Mayfair millionaires.
Oh, no, no, not at all, Mac. There's no reason why you can't conform to the rules of a moderate diet. As for the rest I spoke of, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a long weekend will do the trick. I've got a mild case of nerves, old chap. Nothing serious now, but if you let them go, they might develop into something more serious.
It's easy to see with that blithesome bedside manner of yours. You don't read the paper.
No, on the contrary, old boy, I do, but what's that got to do with your present condition?
Just this. I'm in charge of those clever robbery cases that have been headlining the news and causing all those caustic comments on the editorial page.
Oh, yes. You mean the ones like that Compton Collinsbury robbery of yesterday? That was quite a haul there, wasn't it? The dear old lady is one of my best patients. It's upset her no end.
That's nothing to what her husband's been doing to me in his newspapers. Now, look here.
Yes?
Just listen to this. Never in the history of the Yard have we been faced with such utter incompetence. How do you like that for a character reference?
Oh, I say that's pretty stiff, old boy. As I know, Compton Collinsby loves to blow off in his papers.
Well, to be fair, he's got something to blow off about. In the past 2 years, some clever gang of thieves have pulled off 20 jobs like the Compton Collinsby affair. They've gotten away with over £200,000 worth of loot.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't bungled a single job, never left a single solitary clue or fingerprint. What's more puzzling, never used any sense to cash in on the loot.
And all this comes under your jurisdiction, Mac.
That's right.
No wonder you've got such a case of nerves.
I tell you, it's driving me barmy. No little jobs, mind you. Always the biggest and best. Nothing of small value. Always fine jewels, rare expensive furs, and the best works of art.
Yes, indeed. Like that small, rare old piece of ancient Greek amphora they stole from old Lady Compton Collinsby. That piece was practically priceless. Fashioned clever lot, those thieves must be, Max.
Clever? I tell you, they're invisible. I picked up every suspect in England, raided every likely den of thieves I could find. I've checked every fence on the entire European continent. For the past 2 years, I've run down one cold trail after another, and I'm no nearer a solution now than I was when I started. Is it any wonder I'm run down and in here to see you? I tell you, I can't eat, I can't sleep or rest. I'm being bombarded on all sides by press, parliament, and people. Utter incompetence. That's their battle cry.
Well, I shouldn't do this against my own advice. Let's drop into my study where it's nice and quiet. I'll console you with a whiskey and soda.
Then, 7 years later, one day last winter, the same doctor got a call from an apartment in Buckingham Gate.
It's the doctor, Mrs. Bicer. Yes. Join in, Janet. Come in, please, sir. It's Mrs. Bicer. In there. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
It's nothing serious. Just a rather bad chill. At my time of life, you can't afford to play with colds and chills.
Yeah, that's quite right, Mrs. Baker. Better to be safe than sorry. Now, let's see. First, the temperature and the pulse. Open your mouth, please. And that's it. Now, let's get the pulse, please. A little temperature, nothing serious. Pulse looks about normal.
You may be the cause of that, Doctor. It isn't often I have a handsome young man like you holding my hand.
I say, you're probably too healthy to need my services, Mrs. Baker. That's why you haven't had the plague.
Outside of a few childish complaints, I've enjoyed 60 years of excellent health, Doctor.
No, that's splendid, splendid. Now, if you please, I'd like to hear your heart and lungs. And nothing wrong with that heart action either. I'm afraid you're not going to be much of a patient. Well, now, you appear to be quite all right outside of this little cold condition, and I think we've caught that in time. I'll write a prescription for you, and if you stay in bed for a few days, get plenty of rest, a light diet, plenty of fruit juices, we'll have you well in no time.
Oh, that's splendid. That's how I like to hear a doctor talk. You're a very nice young man. I'll have to keep you in mind.
Thank you. And here's the prescription. Keep warm, Mrs. Baker. Avoid drafts, and you have nothing to worry about. By the way, while I was taking your pulse and temperature, this little piece on the table caught my eye. It's a very odd piece. Delicately beautiful. Is it an antique?
Oh, goodness sakes, no. Just an inexpensive copy of something or other my father bought my mother years ago. And that is only value. Just the sentimental attachment of it belonging to my parents.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll be running along now, but I'll drop in tomorrow and see if you're progressing all right.
Yes, please do, Doctor. Even if it's only for a few minutes. A lonely old widow like myself rather enjoys a visitor now and then. Oh, Janet, show the doctor downstairs. Yes, ma'am.
Good day, Mrs. Baker. Just follow my instructions and you'll be as right as rain.
I see what she does, Doctor. She don't go out much. But she does like to be huffing about the house. But I'll take good care of her.
That's fine.
Will you ask, Doctor?
Yes, thank you. And take good care of Mrs. Baker. Good day.
I will. Good day, Doctor.
Later that evening, the doctor ran into his old friend, Inspector McIntosh of Scotland Yard, and, both being free for the evening, decided to have dinner together. And during the course of the dinner...
You know, it's a funny thing, my running into you this evening, because I was thinking of you this afternoon.
Guilty conscience, perhaps. Developing into a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, maybe.
Oh, no, not yet, Max. Do you remember 6 or 7 years ago when those series of robberies in Mayfair were being committed? Jewels, expensive furs, art objects, and that sort of thing. I remember it because they had you so worried you even came in to see me.
Of course I remember. I haven't had a chance to forget them. They're still listed as unsolved, and every once in a while something comes up about one of the cases. What made you ask?
Oh, nothing. Only I remember old Mrs. Thompson Collinsley and how upset she was when she was robbed. How hysterically she raved about her beautiful Greek amphora.
What made you think of all that?
A visit to a patient of mine today.
Oh?
A little old lady. Widow, 60 odd. Fairly well to do, I expect. And skipper of the cricket.
Will you stop beating about the bush and tell me what all this has got to do with reminding you of the art robberies of 7 years ago?
I just sat on the table near the old lady's bed. I saw a little bit of bric-a-brac that reminded me of old Lady Compton Collins's Greek amphora.
What devil you did?
Yes, of course it wasn't. Just a cheap copy of a vase, something like it.
But I say, since we've finished dinner and since I never eat sweets and coffee keeps me awake, so let's get out of here, shall we, huh? I'd like you to show me where this old lady lives.
I say, hold on, old chap. Surely you don't suspect that. Why, she's a perfectly charming old soul, harmless as a kitten. Besides, the vase wasn't a real thing, just a cheap copy her father gave her mother. The old lady just keeps it out of sentiment.
Nevertheless, I want to see where she lives, just out of curiosity. Come along now.
Yeah, very well, but you're wasting your time.
Now, listen to me, Weatherby. I want you to watch that house day and night. Arrange for the men and give me a daily report. Now, Hobson. Hobson, get your telephone expert to tap her telephone wire and listen 24 hours a day. Hilton, I want you to intercept all the mail. Steam the letters open. Make copies and put the originals back in the letterbox.
I hope you're not barking up the wrong tree on this, McIntosh. After all, you haven't very much to go on. The case is quite old. If there's any slip-up and the papers get hold of this, well, that'll be the devil to pay.
I know, Sir William, and it will be on my head. This is the only case that has ever been marked unsolved on my record. I have borne a lot of caustic criticism over the case, and I'd like to solve it. One of the biggest halls of the lot is facing the apartment building right next door to where that old woman lives.
Well, I jolly well hope you're right, McIntosh. Now, what do you want from me, head of the yard?
A confidential warrant to examine the bank, to see if I can trace her bank accounts and find out what's in them.
Very well, McIntosh. Despite the fact that I think this is going a bit too far, I'll give you every cooperation.
Do that. And I'm sure I'll bring you in the cleverest criminal in all England.
You were right, Inspector McIntosh. Just look at the report of these telephone calls. Look at this one. It's from one of the female members of a little gang. This one is apparently very attractive, soft-spoken, and has a well-appointed apartment in the Mayfair district. She entertains lavishly, and in return, her victims entertain her at their home. That's how they find out the value of jewels and artwork in the victim's home and perfect the plans for the robbery.
That's right. I've traced her bank account. She rents apartments in various parts of the city, owns 2 fashionable apartments herself, as well as a high-class hotel in Maidenhead, Berkshire.
Well, then you've got it dead to rights. Congratulations, Inspector. I rather imagine you'll find a lot of the stolen goods when you make your arrest.
The climax of the case came with the arrest of this shy, cultured, soft-spoken little widow. Until all the evidence was in, it was difficult for the public, press, and even the crack Scotland Yard men to believe that she could be guilty of an innocent misdemeanor, to say nothing of a spectacular string of major crimes that baffled England's smartest criminologist for more than 8 years. You have just heard The Shy Widow, a thrilling true case history of one of the most amazing criminal cases in modern British history. This story, entitled The Shy Widow, Who Turned Out to Be a Queen of Crime, is to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Thank you.